But I want to say again that we're thankful to be here and glad to see Albert coming in back there and the friend with him. And we're just thankful to be here. It means a lot to us to be here in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And as I said last night, I'm here because God sent me. I tell you again that I did not come here just because I took a notion to come. Now, I would come because I would take a notion if the Lord would let me. But I didn't come that way. I came because He told me to come. And I'm here tonight strictly by the leading of Jesus Christ. And I know when you say things like that to some people, they don't believe it because they don't know God in that way. They don't live that close to God, and they don't even know what it is to follow Christ and go where the Lord tells you. They don't understand it. And when you say that to them, it has a hollow sound because their experience with God is a superficial sort of a thing. And they don't have any reality in serving God. They don't know how to commune with God or have God to lead them or tell them anything. But before God, He told me to come here, and I'm here tonight because He sent me, and He sent me for a purpose. And for over 20 years, we've been trying to serve the Lord, preach the gospel around the nation in different parts of the world, throughout the United States from coast to coast and into the islands, numbers of islands. And we have just recently come off of 13 radio stations, some of the biggest in the nation and out of the nation, that reached around the nation and around the world, and have been having some of the wonderful tremendous response from different people. And some have heard the revelation, and we've received letters that's come in that have stated, they've made such statements as, Brother Pike, I've been listening to the ministers for years over the radio station, the big radio stations, and they named the leading and outstanding ministers of the United States. Said, but I have learned more since you've been on the radio preaching in the few weeks that I've got to listen to you than all the rest of them put together. That's a good testimony, isn't it? Now, you say, well, what do you think about that? I don't know what to think about it. What do you think about it? I think it sounded pretty good. To me, it sounded pretty good. But one thing about it, whether the people was lying or not, that'll be in the day of judgment to be found out. But I do know for sure that Jesus said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And we are getting multiplied letters from as far as Africa and England and across the nation that are saying the same thing. As a matter of fact, we got a letter out of Africa not too long ago, and the man used the terms, he said, when I read the literature that I received from you, said I was flabbergasted. Said I didn't, he talked like he had never heard anything like it in his life. And so then that sounds good to me. That makes me know that God will do a new thing. No matter what's been done, Jesus said, I will do a new thing. And we're seeing a new thing done. God done some great things through the ministers that have come up. Some great men have come forth, and God's done some great things. I think Brother Branham was one of the greatest that ever walked the earth, and God done a great thing through him. But God's doing a new thing, even things that Brother Branham never brought forth. God's giving in this hour, and I thank the Lord for it. I appreciate it. A lot of people will never receive it, and the reason they will never receive it is because they don't believe it. Isn't that so? A lot of people will never receive healing because they don't believe in healing. A lot of people will never receive anything from God because they don't believe in God. The Bible said, he that cometh to the Lord must first believe that he is. That is to say that there is a God. That's the first thing in the contract with God, is that you believe that there is a God. And then after that, you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you do not believe there is a God, then you're stopped to begin with. If you do not believe that God is going to reward you for what you are doing, then you're stopped, because that is a must with God. God is a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. I've had a lot of conversation about that, and I've had people to say, well, Moses saw Him. And I said, no, no record where He ever saw Him, no record where Adam ever saw Him. And I said, the Bible or the Scriptures cannot be broken. No man has seen God at any time. And in Timothy, Paul, having the revelation, uses the terminology this way: no man has seen God, nor can see God, for He is the great light, unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. And so then, that makes us to know that God is the invisible God and must be brought present by the act of faith. And without faith, God is not present. And wherever there is faith, God is present. And wherever faith is offered, if it's faith for salvation, He will save, Brother Delmer. If it's faith for healing, He will heal. If it's faith for deliverance from evil spirits, He will deliver. If it's faith to meet your need and bring you out of poverty, He'll do that. Whatever you do, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And I'm glad tonight that I know that invisible God. The Bible said, they that were of old, the prophets, they endured as seeing Him who is invisible. And I'm glad that I know the invisible God, and I've endured these many years as seeing Him who is invisible. Paul said, the immortal, invisible God, to Him be all honor, praise, and glory. Last night, I talked a little bit on the, I believe Brother Taylor named the tape, Strengthen the Things Which Remain. And I know that maybe you don't understand, but these tapes that they make go out all over the nation, and God is blessing, and people are really calling for tapes. It's hard to keep enough tapes. We buy them sometimes $100 worth at a time, and it's still hard to keep tapes. They're calling for them all around the nation, and some are saying, Brother Pike, it's the only thing that I've got to keep me alive. And, of course, I see some of your minds just jumping up and down with question marks, you know. Some of you don't believe it, and some of you would like to believe it, and you just don't have enough faith to get that far along, and you just keep trying, the Lord will help you. But nevertheless, it's happening anyway. And I was thinking about the songs. I hope Frank got the songs tonight, because as they go out across the nation, these songs go with them, whether it be on radio, whether it be going out by mail. And I like anointed singing. I'm a songwriter. I've wrote many hundreds of songs in my life, and I sing. I used to hang a guitar around my neck, and me and my wife used to do a lot of singing in our services. And then when the children came along and they began to sing, well, we kind of left that to them. But I love singing. I don't like to hear singing that's not godly. I don't like to hear people sing that are not godly people. And I don't like any singing that takes away from the Word of God. As long as it works with the Word of God and everything flows with the Word of God, then I think it's wonderful. But any time that it sidesteps the Word of God and takes over the service, then I'm ready to leave and go home. Now, a lot of people say, well, I think the Spirit is moving. I say, well, that's fine. If the Spirit's moving, that's good. Go ahead and enjoy it. I feel like going home. And so a lot of times I just get up and going home. The only thing that I know that the Scripture speaks of wherein God can have a part in the service is the Bible said, and when the minister speaks, it shall not be him that speaketh, but God that speaketh from within him. And I feel that though singing is good, and all the praising of God is good, all the shouting is good, and all the feeling of God is good, but nothing is like having God himself speak to you. Nothing. And when we cut out the Word, then we cut Him out, and we take over the services. I've heard so many people say, well, Brother Pike, the Spirit just took over. I'll never believe that. I'll never believe that. Now you say, what do you mean by that? I mean that God Himself wants to speak to His people. And when we let everything go the way we think it ought to go, and we stop the voice of God, God is not in it.
God is not in it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, we had a shouting good time. I said, well, that's fine. Maybe the next time we come together, we can listen to God. Now that you've had a shouting good time tonight, maybe next time we can let God say something to us. The Bible tells us that my people perish from the lack of knowledge. I want to talk with you just a few minutes before I start preaching. I like to say this before I start preaching, because when I start preaching, I say it in a different tone of voice. While I'm talking to you, I just talk to you normal, you know. And then when the anointing comes, well, I'm liable to shout at you, holler at you, scream at you, rebuke you, reprove you, do anything. I'm subject to anything then. But while I'm here just talking to you as a man, I love to talk with you because I can kind of reason with you. I'm the kind of preacher that when I'm preaching, I like for people to pay attention. I like for people to pay attention. When they start looking at the babies and looking at the benches and passing things about and chewing gum and popping bubbles and playing around and getting up and going in and out, then I get disturbed. Because I'm like Billy Sunday said, I'm a traveling evangelist, but I don't preach to a traveling congregation. I like for them to be still, and as Peter said, to look on us. Now, Billy was a hard preacher. He was a Baptist preacher, but he was one of the hardest Baptist preachers that ever preached in the world. And Billy Sunday, if he was preaching and one person got up and moved, he'd stop. He wouldn't preach no more till that person come and sat back down. That's the way he was. And I'm not quite that bad. I keep on preaching. But I don't like for people to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. And I want you to listen at me. I love you. I didn't come here to criticize. I preached last night. I tried not to say anything about anybody's spirit last night or anything wrong. But I'm going to tell you something, and this will get me started off on the wrong foot with some of you to start with. But I'm going to tell you, some of you people are filled with the devil. And some of you are bound by demons and devils. I mean, some of you people that have fasted and prayed and supposed to be Christians and serving God, you are literally bound by the demons out of hell. You don't have any interest in Christianity, in God, in being in church. And when you come here, the devil allows you to come here to bind the service. The first thing you do, I felt a woman's spirit a few minutes ago, a devil out of hell that's had her for many years and bound her tight as a hat band, and she hardly ever sits in my service unless that devil shows himself. You need to get free. Straighten out. And I didn't mean to get preaching right off. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now when we were singing, they said hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm sure you folks are acquainted with devils and demons. All right. Now I love you tonight, but I said this. I like for you to pay attention. When I'm preaching, I like for you to pay attention. I like for you to listen. Little folks and big folks, I like for you to listen. When I go to the trouble to come to speak to you by the leading of Jesus Christ, I want you to listen. Now, a lot of preachers, it's not important to them that you listen. They don't care whether you listen a lick or not. If they can get you stirred up and get an offering out of you, that's all they care. But Brother Pike doesn't want your dollar. I didn't come for your money. I've never bothered you with money, Samuel said. I've never coveted your silver or gold. I haven't taken anything from you. I came in the name of the Lord to give you a word from Christ. And I want you to hear me, folks. I love you. God bless you. I love you. Some of you are sitting here tonight. You've been through many heartaches since I spoke to you a few years ago. There's not one individual that I know of that's of reputation that I know of, that I spoke to when I was here before, but what hasn't faced great tragedy and sorrow and heartaches and poverty. Your children have been in jail. You put them in caskets. There's been wrecks. There's been sicknesses. There's been cancer. There's been rape. There's been everything that's happened since we was here before. I warned you and you didn't listen. And I come to you again in the name of the Lord to try to help you and to tell you something. So for Christ's sake, when you come, try to listen, pay attention, try to love Brother Pike. I love you, but I'm serious about what I say. I'm serious. I'm one of the most serious men that you have ever met in all of your life about what I say. I have no thoughts in my mind that are evil that I allow to come through my mind or to stay in my mind. I allow my heart at no time to lust, to covet the things of the world. All of my life is spent in divine meditation with God, day and night. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I slip down on my knees and I talk to God. If it's in the daytime, riding down the road, I talk to God. A lot of times my wife and children get aggravated and my friends get aggravated because I'm not interested in their conversation, because it's not about God. I just endure it. So I'm very serious. The reason for this is because I can only see one thing. I thought one time, Mark, that I was cut off from God. The Lord, knowing that He was going to put me in this position, He put me through the fire before He ever brought me into it. And He let me go for a number of months. And I thought that I was cut off from Christ. He made eternal life very dear to me. He made me realize the value of Christianity, Brother James, and what it means to be cut off into the rims and the regions of the damned and to be facing the flames of hell. You've never experienced that. Many of you have never experienced it. I made that statement the other night. I know that you haven't, because I can tell by your actions. The man that experiences that will be different. I mean altogether different. Somebody says, I've experienced it. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You might have went through some shakings, and you might have went through some things, but let me tell you, if one time you ever go through it, it'll change your entire life and disposition and all that you ever plan to do or ever do. It'll change it. It'll change your plans. It'll change your motives. It'll change your thoughts. It'll change your words. When you face the burning flames of the pit, it makes a world of difference. I don't mean just have a vision and see it look like you might be going there. A lot of people have done that. They've had the devil. I've had the devil to come to me, talk with me. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about when he cuts the spirit off and you don't get to it. It's gone. It's a world of difference. A world of difference. And when God put me through it, he brought me out of it. I went as far as I could go, and I fell prostrate on my face. And I said, Lord, this is it. I'm gone. I can't go no further. My nerves are shattered. I'm gone. I'm torn to pieces, God. You've rent me to pieces. And all of a sudden, the cloud moved away and the darkness moved away and God came down. And I'll tell you what, Brother James, when I got a hold of that spirit, I said, God, by your grace, I'll never, never, never do anything to lose it. Cars and homes and riches and wealth and whatnot, but I'll never give the devil a chance to take that away from me. He learned me what was the most valuable thing that man could ever have. Tonight I'm thankful. That's why I'm serious, folks. I'm very serious. The Bible said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. For it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. If you've never fell into the hands of a living God, you don't understand. But the Lord intended for me to carry a ministry, and he didn't intend for me to backslide and to go up and down and in and out and reproach what he was trying to do, and or get down the way 20 or 30 years and then run off and leave it. So he made sure before I ever got into it and before he ever committed it to my trust that I knew the value of it. And I'll tell you what, God's my witness. I've never in my Christian experience, now I've drifted from God time after time like you have, and not being as steadfast or going on with God in the depths I wanted to go on with God in. But I've never backslid on God, never in my life. In over 20 years of my experience, I've never turned away from my first love in God. I love him with all of my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, because I know what I've got to face when I stand before God. I'll have your blood on my hands when I stand there. The Bible teaches that we'll give an account. Paul said, I'll give an account for you as one that has to present you to God. If Brother Delmer Baldwin pastors this church in the day of the judgment, he'll give an account for every one of you that's under his ministry. When he stands there, he'll have to present you to God. And Paul said, I hope that I can present you as chaste virgins unto God. And I'm trying, people, with all that follow my ministry, all that I teach, I'm trying to bring them to Christ as a chaste virgin, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. I love you. God bless you. I wouldn't hurt you or say anything against you for anything, but I want to help you. I'm speaking plain to you. Paul said we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I speak a little rude in speech for this reason. I don't want you to be lost. And I know that this is the last chance God's going to give you. I told him last night, this is the last chance that God's going to give you. For a number of years, he's given you a chance. But as I live before God, this is the last chance he's going to give you. Some of you, I know you don't believe that, and I'm not going to bother to try to convince you. He didn't tell me to try to convince you. He just told me to come here and tell you the things that he wanted me to say. But I'm going to tell you, you'd better move up this time. Better move up this time. I hope you will, because some of you are in bad shape. Bad shape. All right. Forgive me for taking so long there, and I want to read to you now, and I'll try my best not to keep you but just a little bit tonight. I didn't hold you very long last night. If I come back here Sunday night, the Lord's will, if that's the way the Lord leads. I think they've got something planned here for tomorrow night. Some kind of youth meeting or something, and then a trip plan. Is that it? The youth has got a trip planned or something. And they've also got a minister's meeting somewhere. Brother Dixon, I've never met Brother Dixon. I guess he must be a wonderful man from what I've heard. And I've heard he said he didn't want to meet me, that he'd already heard enough about me. But I haven't heard enough about him to discourage me. I love him, never having met him, because I hear he tries to live a holy life. And I've got great respect for him. Appreciate him very much. I know that people, you know, they're always saying things, you know, a Baldwinite and a Pikeite and a Branhamite and a Balakite and all kind of ites, you know. But nevertheless, I never have heard any of them mention anything in calling their own name about being an Ike following them. Never have. Heard a lot of people complain about other people and say things against other people because people praise them too much. But I have never heard one man in my life complain because somebody praised him too much. Never. I've never heard it. So then I praise the Lord for his blessings. And I like Brother Delmer's attitude tonight when he spoke about praising the man of God. Folks, let me tell you something. I just want to talk with you out of my heart a minute or two tonight. Can I? Let me read just some scripture and just talk to you just a few minutes tonight. Chapter 10, I want you to read with me the book of Revelation. All right, now I want you to listen just for a few minutes now. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. All right, now that's reading a good bit here, and I want to talk with you just a little bit. Now, I'd like to be able to get into Revelation with you tonight. It's always my burning desire to come to you and get into spiritual revelation wherever I go, Brother Delmer. I burn like fire on the inside. The writer said it's like fire shut up in my bones. And I have a burning desire to be able to get into Revelation with you. But I hardly ever get into Revelation here at this church or in this area or a number of other areas that I go into. I almost have to confine it to the church where I'm at and to the people there and to putting it on tape and sending it out to the people. Because most people, when I say this, this is the truth, so help me God. Most preachers and most church people know nothing about the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can ask a church member or you can ask a preacher, you say, do you know anything about the revelation of Jesus Christ? And I've had them answer me this way a number of times. They say, well, sure, I know about the book of Revelation. And I say, but I don't mean the book of Revelation. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is in the present day that we're living in right here. I say, do you know anything about it? And they'd say, you know, I don't know anything about that. But I want you to know there is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that revelation is a present day truth that is given to you and given to me that we may have the divine mind of Almighty God. And I try to shy away from preaching that because I know that I don't have time to do that. We have ritualistics and formalities that we go through, and we're so used to wanting to feel the Spirit, and I love to feel the Spirit. There's not a Christian in the world that doesn't love to feel the Spirit. I love to feel the Spirit of God. I love to feel the Spirit of God. But we're so used to wanting to feel the Spirit, that is to receive the milk of the Word, because that's what the Spirit is the milk of the Word. We're so used to doing that and going on as spiritual babies. There's not a deliverance minister in the world. When I say that, I mean a real, genuine, God-given deliverance minister. Not a deliverance minister in the world that won't tell you that you've got to have the Word of God before you get healed. God heals by His Word. He sent His Word and healed them. He sends His Word to save them. The Bible said that the Word, faith, cometh by hearing of the Word, and it's by faith in God that you are saved, and that God is the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is still God. And when you reject the Word and turn a service into shouting and jumping and hollering, you've rejected God. God said to Saul, you turned to the things of the world and you laid hold on the things of the world and you desired the things of the world and the money and the favor of people and all of this kind of thing. And said, because you've done it, I've rejected you, Saul, because you rejected my Word. His Word. God's Word is the greatest thing that's ever been given. Somebody said, are you placing the Word over the Spirit? You ever heard of the inseparable twins? I preached a message not too long ago on the inseparable twins. I want you to know that there is no Spirit without God's Word. There is no Spirit without God's Word. People who tell you that they feel the Spirit of God without God's Word, something's wrong with them. God's Word is the Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Spirit, and is the Spirit. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the only Spirit they are. If you've got any other Spirit, you've got the devil's Spirit. I said if you've got any kind of Spirit outside the Word Spirit, you've got a devil's Spirit. Somebody said, ain't you afraid to say that? Not a bit. Would you like me to repeat it? Anybody that's got any kind of Spirit outside of the Word of God is a devil. In the beginning was the Holy Spirit, God's Word. It's still God's Word. And this God Spirit, this invisible God, this great invisible Spirit, this invisible power that we're talking to you about tonight, this great God, this great Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same to you and the same to me and the same to every generation, Brother Taylor. It hasn't changed a bit. It's the same God. It's the same God that Elijah had. The same God that Paul had. It's the same God that Peter had. The same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. It's God the Word. That God the Word rejected the Jews because the Jews refused to believe in it. And Paul said, though they had the Word, Yet the word, not being mixed with faith, did not profit them. And God went off and left them. Is that right? And I want you to know tonight that you can have the word among you and let the preacher preach the word, but if you don't have any faith and any confidence in the word and in what he's trying to tell you, you'll never reap any benefit out of it. If I stand here tonight and preach the word to you and you believe the word, then God will do something for you. Hallelujah. Now, I know this may sound a little bit loud over this mic. People have got a way of choking the preacher to death, you know. They want the mic cut down because they say, that bothers me. It don't bother them. It bothers the devil. Down home, we don't cut it down and choke the preacher to death. Our people come in and listen, and we don't have any shortage of congregation. They come in from all over the nation. What we need to do is keep things up loud enough to where people can hear it. So they pay attention. Is that all right? Somebody said, where do you get that, Brother Pike? The Bible said with a loud voice. And the Bible said his voice sounded like a trumpet. Hallelujah. So then, if it's a little loud, just bear with it. I'd rather have it a little loud than a little low. If it's a little loud, it'll help me. If it's a little low, it'll help you. And I'd rather help me tonight. Because I need to talk to you. After I leave, you can turn it down. You love the Lord? All right, I want to talk with you out of my heart tonight. My cord here is just a little bit short. But I want to talk to you out of my heart tonight. First of all, I know that I probably won't be able to get into the revelation tonight. I don't have enough time to do that. You can't preach a revelation message unless you've got at least an hour. It takes at least a good hour to preach a revelation message. And a preacher hardly ever has that long to preach unless it's late when the people are already worn out and they won't listen. So, and you can't get into revelation unless they listen. See, it takes the people to bring revelation. Your heart has got a hunger and thirst to get revelation. Our young people, our little people at home, our young people, their hearts thirst after revelation. And our young people know more than some of the ministers across the nation know about revelation. You say, how do you know? Because I've had ministers from around the nation come in and get a hold of some of their school books and school lessons. And they said to me, they said, boy, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Said, I'd love to go back to school with them kids and learn this. And they asked that the school lessons be given to them. The little fellas love revelation, and they're getting into the mind of God. That shows us that we've been spiritual children. But folks, let me tell you something. There's got to be a change. Now, I made the statement, I said that there's going to be a change in Olive Branch. And I made the statement not too long ago. I said there'll be a change. Everything will be changed. There'll be a lifting up. Everything will make a change. I said the stars will make a change. The government will make a change. And everything in the earth will make a change. And it started to make it. It's been a continual change ever since. And I said a new atmosphere will come, and God will bring an atmosphere of peace and joy and jubilance to his people. And he will bring sadness and sorrow to the world. And there will be a great change. And that change is already in the making. That's why we went over to Missouri. It's because that denoted the great change. That's why we're here tonight. By the leading of the Lord, it denotes a great change here. Coming to you and coming to me and coming to the world. And the sadness and the sorrow and the heaviness that's been over God's people. The cords will be broken and taken away. And the jubilance of God will come forth. It'll be broken. It'll be a different kind of thing. There's been a great move. And I want you to listen tonight, because I'm not criticizing, I'm not fighting, I'm not picking, I've got a message to preach. And I try to preach it with all love and respect, not to have anything against anybody. To smite you, or to smite the shepherds, or to smite anybody else. I try to preach it in a way that you can understand it, but I try to make sure that it gets into your heart. Now, there is a change going on. We have had what is referred to as a woman's world. Now, I can't get into a revelation tonight. Like I said, it'd just be some brief thing. I wished I had about a week and had every night with plenty of time to get into just a few revelations. But you can't just run in and preach a sermon or two and do any good. People are too carnal. Too carnal. They don't know anything about God, let alone revelation.
They don't know anything about the revelation, or rather the reverence of the house of God, which is the first oracles of God, or repentance, which is the principles of God. They don't know. Some of you men that's supposed to be ministers, your wife is bound with the devil. You ain't got enough discernment to even know that. That's right. Some of your children are bound with the devil. And you ain't even got enough discernment to know that. Are you talking about discerning people out and discerning things out? Are you following me? It's been a woman's world. I'm just going to say a few things here tonight. Now remember, I want you to listen to me. Because the devil purposely sends somebody. It might be a woman, it might be a man, it might be a boy, it might be a girl, it might be a preacher half backslidden, but the devil purposely sends somebody to take your attention and get your attention off of God and to keep roaming up and down the aisles and in and out everywhere. Their mind's not on God. He purposely does it to rob you and to keep you from the things of the Lord. You ought to pay attention more, even more. It's been a woman's world. Never in the history of the world has women ever been so out of sorts, so unruly, so rebellious, and contrary to their husbands. Never have they ever been like that. God despises the sage. I mean, he literally despises the sage. When a woman rules, God despises the household that will allow that. And the household that allows the woman to rule will die and go to hell. They'll be prosperous in this world because the woman knows how to work it. But they'll die and they'll go to hell because God will frown on it and he will not give his spirit to that house. It is a perverted thing of the devil. The very minute that Eve started to rule, God put them out of the garden. Isn't that right? As long as Adam was in the garden and he was the head of the family, God went along with it. But the very minute that Eve said, "See here, Adam, try a little bit of this," and Adam said, "I think I will," God said, "Get out of the garden." If you're going to listen to her instead of me, I told you not to eat of it, and she told you to eat of it, and that's exactly what you've done. It's been a woman's world. America is known to be a woman's world. It's been a woman's church. And God has allowed women preachers to come in. He's allowed women to go half naked. He's allowed women to take the reins in the home and lead. He's allowed them to be contrary and not kill them. But brothers and sisters, as I live before God in the church world, God will kill the women that don't come under subjection. We're coming into a new age. I tell you, young ladies tonight, I tell you in the name of the Lord tonight and you elders alike, get out of the church, get away from the church, get away from religion. Because God is fixing to bring the church to perfection. And your place is in subjection to your husband with all gravity. The Bible said a special minister, let him have his wife and children in subjection with all gravity. You get away from the church as fast as you can unless you're planning to be God's seed. Unless you're planning to be God's people. Get away from it. Run for your life. Get out there and enjoy sin for a season. Lest God kill you. We're coming back to the days of Ananias and Sapphira. Don't come into the church and pledge to support the ministry and cast your lot with the brethren and go back and lay you up a few $1,000s in the bank. God will get you for that. Somebody said, "Well, I think God wants me to keep a little money in the bank." I think you are a liar, and I'll tell you to your face, you are a liar. God doesn't want you to do it.
Amen.
You promised to give God your all. And I can preach this freely because I don't take offerings. Hallelujah. Praise God. It makes me feel good. I can preach it because I don't take your money. I don't want your money. But your money will perish with you if you lay it up in the bank. God doesn't want you to put it there. Some of you ministers here and some of you lay it to here. You just about starved ministers to death coming through here. And I've had some of you to come to me when I was in this area and I was in need and said, "God told me not to give you anything." Why, you lying hypocrite?
Amen.
I said, "You lying hypocrite. God never told you not to give to the ministry. God never changes His word. God said for you to give unto the minister, to render unto him all that he has need of." Seeing that he's a man of God that giveth himself continually upon this very thing. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, what are we going to do? We got a dozen ministers in here." I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you've got a dozen ministers, take care of every one of them. But if you've got a dozen people in here that say they're called a priest, that's bickering and backbiting and causing trouble, get rid of them. And find the man of God and support him. And ship the others out. A man of God. Who is a man of God? Somebody's going to run around and tell you he needs an offering every two or three days. That's not a man of God. Who is a man of God? Somebody that's going to pray for your sick body. Fast and pray and seek God and ask God to help you. Somebody said, "Well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? You said for him to take the offering, then you say he ain't a man of God if he does take the offering." I didn't say that at all. Don't twist up what you heard. I didn't say that at all. I said that it ought to be in your heart, every last one of you, from a little child on up. I have little children that come to me down yonder and pay their tithe. Not because I ask for it. They want to do it. When we come to men's meeting, little children sit there, Delmer, and pledge $100 or $1,000, and they pledge.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Not because I ask them. You need the love of God. What is the love of God? "He that loveth God keepeth God's commandments." That's the love of God. Somebody said the love of God, all of this gooey gooey stuff and making fuss over each other and letting people get by with the devilish things they do in the house of God and saying, "I'm not going to say anything. I'm afraid that I'm going to offend them or drive them off." That's not the love of God. That's the evil power of the devil. But the love of God is when you're told the truth and when you repent of your sins and you can keep the commandments of God. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, for here is the love of God, that you keep my commandments," Jesus said. And my commandments are not grievous. You ought to love one another. Love one another. That minister ought not to have to ask for nothing. I thought about Brother Delmer asking for $100 tonight. And that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that my brother would be concerned about me. It's wonderful if you even gave a dime. But folks, here you ought to drop your head in shame. If you don't give more than $100 in a weekend offering here. If you don't give $500, there's something wrong with you. Amen. What it is, somebody said, "Well, I just ain't got it." I know you haven't got it because you put it up yonder in the bank somewhere. I know you haven't got it because you bought you another new automobile, two automobiles, three automobiles. I don't even have an automobile. I've given away numbers of automobiles and don't have one myself. Somebody said, "Well, I just can't do it because I've got so many bills." Well, stop making the bills. Get rid of some of the bills. Amen. I said amen, amen, amen. Somebody say amen. Get rid of some of it. Get rid of some of it. Share with the Lord. The little widow just had a little bite. That's all she had. But she didn't say, "I've got to pay the light bill and pay the car bill. And you've taken my last dollar and I don't know what I'm going to do." God said, "Elijah, go get the money from the widow, or the offering from the widow, or the food from the widow, or whatever she has to give you. Go get it." He did it. God wasn't in need. The Bible said He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. All the gold and silver is His. He creates the good and evil, has His way in both, works all things after His own will. And the Bible said He holds the king's heart in His hand, turns it whithersoever He will, like the rivers of waters. But what is He doing? He's trying to get you to give your heart to God. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. You got to give to God in time of praying. You got to give to God in fasting. You got to give to God in studying. You got to give to God in swearing to your own hurt and sitting and listening to the minister and giving Him time to indoctrinate you with the truth and with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God. You got to give Him time to do that, folks. You've got to learn how to endure sound doctrine. Old Brother Paul said, I'm going to preach a message. They didn't say, how long will it take? And we're used to preaching 15 minutes. Paul preached at midnight and the fellow fell down dead. He brought him back to life and continued his services over till the morning. Why did he do that? Because he had a revelation from God. You can't take the revelation of Christ and put it in this popcorn machine called a church of today and pop it out in bags and give it to them in 5 minutes and get a 15-cent offering for it. You can't do that. This is altogether different, my brother. Hallelujah. You give $100, that's fine. And I told Brother Delmer today, I said, if I preach, Brother Delmer here, I said, I don't want the offering. I said, keep the offering. He'll tell you that's the truth. I don't want the offering. The Lord meets my deeds. So I can tell you exactly how I feel tonight. Folks, let me tell you, here's a nice, beautiful church here. This church is a fine church. God has let men work hard. Some of you are just riding on the top of the water. Some of you are coming here and you've got the cream of the crop. You've got this church when men in the years past when I was here worked and strived and struggled and built a little church down here that you built on to, remodeled and redone. And they put a price into it. And then you let it go to waste. You let it go to waste. Let the devil come in and have rock and roll parties. I've been in this church when the rock and roll guitar ought to have been slung out the door. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that don't sound like the Spirit of God. It sounds like the Spirit of my God. My God took a whip and popped it and turned over the money tables and the money changers and drove them out of the house of God. And said, you made it a den of thieves. This ain't no place for a den of thieves. I'm talking about the God I serve. I don't know about the God you serve. I'm talking about the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. You love the Lord? You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Some people feel the Holy Ghost when they're saved. But I feel the Holy Ghost when God comes down. Hallelujah. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The same today, yesterday, forever. Jesus, the Word. Our faith in Him makes us what we are. So then, here is the church. What's happened? Why do we let it be desolate? Why don't we come to the house of God? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it's the preacher. Come on now. Somebody said it's the preacher. I could say, eeny, meeny, mighty, moe if the preachers that you had. That's right. You've had so many preachers down here. Every preacher that's been here, you found something wrong with him. I know. For many long years, I've been acquainted with this place. There hasn't been a preacher come through here, but you didn't find something wrong with him. And some of you long-tongued fellas that call yourself a preacher, if you quit backbiting, cutting down everybody that comes through, God will do something for you. If you don't stop it, He's going to tear your hide up. Somebody said, I don't believe that, but He will. The Bible says, beware, you should forgive God, lest I tear you into pieces. I'll tear you into pieces, God said. They'll pick you up in a plane wreck. They'll pick you up in a car wreck. They'll pick you up out there where cancer's eating you up. The lies about it. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. For it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins and tell the house of Jacob of their transgressions. For they come to me and say, wherefore have we fasted? Wherefore have we prayed? And you don't take any knowledge to it. And he said, in the day of your fast and prayer, all of these things, you did it to smite with the fist of wickedness. You did it to try to get control of your brethren. You did it to try to lord over God's heritage. You didn't do it for the benefit of the people and the benefit of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The song says, feeling so much better, let's go on talking about this good old way. Amen. I just want a few more minutes. I love you. But why is the house of God left undone? Every man run to his own house and leave the house of God lay waste. Why does he do that? Why does he say it's not time to build the house of God, but yet it's time to build his house? Why is it he says he doesn't have the money to support the house of God, but he's got enough money to build his house? If he has to borrow it, bum, beg, steal, work, do whatever he can, he takes care of it. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you just can't give some people enough money. I agree to that. The Bible said my people are greedy dogs that don't never get enough. If you give them 100, they want 1,000. You give them 1,000, they want 10,000. You give them a nice home, they want a bigger one. You give them a fine car, they want another one. I know that. It's got bags with holes in it. You can empty it in by the bushels, but it's running back out. Running back out. It don't do any good. But at the same time, there are those that are trying to reach people with the gospel. Check up on your man. See? Hallelujah. I said check up on him. Like somebody come in our men's meeting the other day. We got a little system, you know, where you can kind of know what's going on. They come in our men's meeting, and I said something about, you know, posting a little thing out here to kind of show the income of different ones. And this fellow spoke up and said, well, everybody don't want folks to know what they got. I said, well, I don't know anything wrong with it. It's got a lot of Ananias and Sapphira's. I said, I don't know of anything wrong with knowing what a fellow's making, what he's got in the bank, too. All of our books are open. We have been acquainted with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And all of our books is open. You can go there today, any one of you, and check my books and tell exactly what come in, how it was spent, who gave it, and where it went to. And if your man don't do that, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You ought to know where the money comes from. You ought to know where it goes. You ought to know how it's used. Somebody said, well, that's what we're interested in. You're a liar. You're not interested in that. You're a liar. You're not interested in that. You'd like to know where that money come from, where it went to, so you could get your claws on it and get around it like a bunch of vultures over a dead dog and howl every time a dime goes out to a starving widow. I'm talking about men of God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, brethren, if you was interested in what the money was, where it was going, how it was coming in, you'd get up here and you'd become a deacon or a leader and get in here and be loyal to the minister, whoever the minister was, be loyal to him and know what was going on and work with him to support the weak. He wouldn't mind you knowing what was going on. Somebody said, well, I don't like the minister. Do you know of any that you like? Can you name one that you like? I've been around some of you for years, and I've never heard you name one that you was in agreement with or like. Somebody said, well, we just don't see eye to eye. Well, that's because you're backslid. Come on, folks. Come on, we're going to get a little closer home now. Somebody said, well, me and you just don't see eye to eye. I know that. You know why? Because you're backslid. Somebody said, you puffed up thing. Not puffed up at all. John said, we know that you're bad off because we know that we're well off. That's what he said. Somebody said, now wait just a minute. How do you know that I'm backslid? Because I'm in harmony with the Word and you ain't in harmony with me. Where does that leave you? You're backslid. Come on, folks, you can say amen or oh me. Down home, we laugh for both of them. Ones that don't like to say amen, they just say oh me. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean, brethren, it's time for us to get up. As I preached last night, and strengthen the things that remain, lest the Lord come in and move our candlestick. Some people don't believe God will move the candlestick. But I tell you, in the name of Christ, God will come in, and God will move your candlestick. Strengthen the things that remain. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts, because he desires truth in the inward parts. Get a hold of the prayer bells of glory and begin to ring. The hallelujahs will begin to come down. Like old Brother Jimmy, when he was up here saying a while ago, you could just feel the waters of Christ coming down from Calvary's mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. Just feel the Spirit of God. While he was singing the glory of God. You know why? Because he was sincere about what he was saying. He was sincere about what he was doing. He was interested in God's presence being here tonight. You know why? Because he's a minister. He has to fight the demons and devils, and he knows what it means when a man of God gets up and there's a dry branch. Somebody say hallelujah. I ain't going to quit preaching yet. You might as well say hallelujah. When I get ready to quit, I'll quit. I'm not like some of your preachers. I'll tell you right now. There ain't no need of freezing up on Brother Pike. It won't do you a bit of good. You'll just have to endure it for the next hour if that's what God tells me to preach. So it's better to enjoy it. Down home, my people learned long ago that wouldn't work with me. Used to, they had to watch and look at the watch and look at the watch. I had a fellow do me like that. He's dead tonight. Had another fellow to go to sleep on me. He's dead tonight. I said, God don't play games. Amen. I told him down there, I said, every time you try to freeze up on me because you think I preach long enough, I said, I'm going to preach 15 minutes longer or take 15 minutes longer with the service till you get rid of that devil. I'm not giving place to a devil. And when you get rid of the devil, then we'll dismiss the service. So you might as well to listen, folks, because I got a few more things to say. Somebody said, well, I think the anointing is done lifted. I don't see how you could figure that. You never have felt the anointing. You don't know the anointing. You're not acquainted with the anointing. How did you know when it came and how did you know when it left? Somebody said, well, I can tell when the preacher's anointed when he's not anointed. No, you can't. The Bible said he is God's anointed. He don't have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. He's always God's anointed. If he wakes up in the middle of the night, he's God's anointed. If he goes over to the Shell station up here and stands to talk to somebody about God, he's God's anointed. You don't have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Always he's God's anointed. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I think God said enough. God's got good sense. He knows how much we want to hear. I agree to you there. He knows how much you want to hear, and a lot of times he'll shut up because he gets disgusted with you before the evangelist does. But I want you to know that God will talk to you all night tonight and all day tomorrow and all night the next night, and just as long as you'll listen, God will talk. He don't get weary and he don't get tired and he don't have to sleep. Our high priest Jesus prayed all night long. He talked with him all night long. Isn't he good? Hallelujah. So then I'm saying this tonight. Now, I said strengthen the things that remain. Why? Something is breaking. Brethren, it's time to learn. It's time to learn. Give me a few more minutes here, and I'm going to close. You've been good listeners, and I'm not going to hold you long. Maybe one night we'll really get into some revelation if we get to stay. But listen, when they came out of Egypt, they shouted, they played the timbrels, they had a good time, they had a revival. Isn't that right? They were spiritual babes in God. They didn't know nothing about Jesus. And the Lord just blessed them, and the milk and honey of heaven came down. And they had a great revival because they crossed over the Red Sea. When we get converted and we come to God, we're babes, and we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And Jesus tells us to feed his lambs. But it wasn't but a little while when they got into the wilderness. And when they got into the wilderness, they started running into trouble. And I want to drop in just a little tad of revelation right here. When they got into the wilderness, they started to running into trouble. And all of the shout left them. They didn't feel like shouting anymore. All of the shout went out of them. Isn't that right? And they couldn't understand, Brother Ezekiel. They said, well, we've had a good time. Olive branches seemed the time when people were shouting and screaming and the power of God falling and people being healed and a wonderful move of God was here. Why? They were a bunch of spiritual babies. Calvin Baldwin and Billy, Mark's dad, men like that came in here and preached the gospel and started a great move of God in this area. And they were babies, and God blessed them because they didn't know anything. Well, you can take this like you want to. And I believe Mark will take it right. He's the son of the man I'm fixing to speak of. And I don't speak this discrediting. But I told Brother Billy when I was here, I said, Bill, I said, you've done a good work in this area. I said, a wonderful thing that'll be remembered from now on and in the books of heaven. God will remember it because he is responsible for the establishing of this church right here. I said, you've done a good thing. I said, but you've taken the people just as far as you can take them. And I said, go out of here, Billy, and go where God tells you to go. And do what God tells you to do, and God will bless you. And you'll continue to be a great man of God, because I believe he was. I said, but if you don't, I said, Billy, you're in trouble with God. Billy didn't do it. Tonight, Billy's in trouble with God. Some of you others, I told you things, but you didn't listen too good. I told you in the name of the Lord. If Brother Pike comes to you just running his tongue, that don't mean anything. But if I say, thus saith the Lord, it means something, my brother. When a man of God comes to you and he tells you that Christ has sent him and he come there to give you a word from the Lord, you take it. I've told this before, I want to relate it tonight. I went to a man's house one time and I was looking for a certain place and I asked the man the directions and he gave it to me. And I knew that the man was a man of God. I knew him to be a man of God. And he gave me the directions. And as he began to tell me where the place was, it registered in my mind that there was a highway that went all the way around to it, and I wouldn't have a bit of trouble getting to it. But he didn't tell me to go by the highway. He said, this wilderness here, go down this trail, an old rocky, rough place, go down this trail and across yonder and over the hills, through the dents, and out, all around. And said, then when you get so-and-so, you'll be there. Well, I wouldn't pay any attention to that. I thought, well, my good common sense tell me to hit that highway and go right around there. And about that time when I was getting ready to leave, something said, he's a man of God. Do what he told you. It could cost you your life. I said, yes, sir. I want you to know I forgot about my plans and the superhighway. And I took the route the man of God said, and I went through that, and I come out all right. A lot of you don't come out all right because you don't take the route the man of God tells you. You got other plans. You got other ideas. You want to do things your own way. And you always get into trouble. But I'm going to say this right here in the close. They got into the wilderness when they come out of Egypt. Born again, great believers, Ollie Branch, same way with the Jews, they got out. They had a good time, and God blessed them. Miriam beat on a timbrel. I've seen them over here beat the timbrel till the metal come off the timbrel. People shouting and hollering, it was God. They had a good time, but it wasn't long before God wanted to teach them some mannerism. He didn't just want them to be shouting all their life. A little baby's cute. He kicks in the cradle. He coos. He can do a lot of things that just thrills your heart. But who wants their baby to stay a baby all his life? That's cruel. Amen. Or he gets to be a little boy, and he might do a lot of things. He might come in here, grab this glass, and throw it down on the floor, get by with it. God wouldn't bother him. He's just a little baby. He might set the seat of his pants on fire, you know. When he started hollering and screaming and going on in the church, you need a bliss of the seat of the pants. And I said, it's too little. No, they ain't too little. If it's too little, they wouldn't be hollering. If they can holler, if they're big enough to holler, they're big enough to spank. Somebody said, well, he's just too sweet. God will put him in a casket. Anything too sweet to reverence God's house, he'll put him in a casket. So then, the little boy comes up. Well, you wouldn't hurt him, would you? God made allowance for us. I stumbled just like you stumble. I crawled. I couldn't walk. But every time I reached up to try to walk, God didn't slap my hands down, did he? Somebody get up and start speaking in tongues, and I might say, it's not God. You don't know whether it's God or not. Somebody said, well, I heard him go, my, 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 my. That wasn't God. But the Bible said with stammering lips and other tongues. He might not know nothing about other tongues. He might just have a ma, 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 but it might be God. And you might blaspheme the Holy Ghost if you say something against it. Some of you might have already blasphemed it. The Bible said one word spoken against the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven in this world nor the world to come. You know, a lot of people, to soothe their conscience and to soothe the conscience of the audience, try to explain that away. And they say, well, what that means is what it said. Somebody said, well, what it means is what it said. Somebody said, well, what it means is if you just go on putting God's Spirit in, putting God's Spirit off, then after a while God won't save you. That's not what it means at all. It don't have anything to do with that. Jesus said just one word coming out of your mouth spoken against the Spirit will never be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. It doesn't make any difference if Brother Pike says you're all right. Brother Delma can say you're all right. Brother Harold can say you're all right. Brother Taylor can say you're all right. But you're doomed for hell. When you speak one word against the Holy Ghost, you're doomed for hell. That's why I tell you, when you come in the house of God, the Bible said I'd be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. For faith cometh by hearing, not by shouting and speaking and talking and saying things and testifying, but it comes by the hearing of the word. A lot of people that testify is giving the sacrifice of a fool. They don't even have a testimony, not even living right. Better that you be quiet. The Bible said, let the woman learn in silence. And that has to do with the church. Isn't that right? For it's a shame for her to speak in the church. Is that right? Let God speak and let her listen. That's the church in Christ. Well, that has to do with some more things too that we don't have time to get into. If you'd like to know something about it, we've got a message called The Covering of His Glory on tape. It tells a whole heap about it. But let me tell you something. When we get up here as a junior, then God expects a little more. When we get up as a teenager, God expects a little more. When we get 21, 25 years old, folks, God expects a little more. I might hire you and put you on a job. You might not know nothing the first week, the 2 weeks, 3 months. And I might bear with it. I might give you a paycheck. But 3 years, if I go back and you're still fiddling around out there and you ain't learned nothing, I'll get rid of you and get you off the payroll. Any sober, sensible person would. See, so then God expects something out of us. And when they got out there in the wilderness, God let them buy with them things. And that's what he's done to Olive Branch. He let you buy with that long tongue of gossiping. He's been merciful to you. He's let you buy with that lamb blasting the preachers and coming into the church, fighting and fussing and going on. It's a shame and a disgrace. Out here on the ground, you literally fought. Come in here in the church and cause a scene in here. Why, if any of you brethren had a real backbone, you'd have got up and got them by the seat of the pants and showed them the door. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid to touch God's anointed. That shows you don't have the Spirit of Christ, because he just planted his whip, walked in there and flipped over the money tables and told them to hit the trail. Somebody said, well, I just can't do that, Brother Pike. I want to ask you a question. How many men sitting here tonight, if I or Brother Delmer or Brother Ezekiel or some other man go to your house and get dog drunk, sloppy drunk, and go into your house and start abusing your wife and your children, how many men here that will stand and let us do that without rising up and being a man and doing something about it if he has to get a shotgun? Come on, folks, say amen or oh me. I'm talking about the right thing here. Somebody said, but that's different. No, it's not different. It's not different. How many of you will let your family go hungry? The Bible said if any man let his family go hungry or don't provide for his own, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. If you're too lazy to work, feed your family, something wrong with you. Somebody said, I believe, Brother Pike, certain things, but I don't have anything to do with it, is what God's Word said about it. The Bible said you ought to provide for the household of faith. That's God's house first. Seek ye first. Some people, you know, when they give to everything and everybody and pay their bills and have anything left, then they give to God. God don't want that. Why don't you just take it out yonder somewhere and invest it in the lust of the flesh and have a good time with it or throw it to the buzzards? God don't want it. God wants the first fruits of your offerings, of your income. The first fruits. God wants your attention, your lives. What do you think he is? Some kind of monkey on a string? You come up and drop your pennies in the cup. God's not a fool. Why do you treat him like that? Why do you act like he's one? When you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. Give the first fruits of your income to God, not the second part, the first part. When you go to pray, get down on your knees and pray to God first, and then make your plans afterwards. Put God first, Eli. Somebody said, bless God, I just don't like the way you preach. You just bother me. I know it bothers you because you've let that little demon hang around that in your life and petted the thing for so long. It bothers you. But if you'll break fellowship with the devils and the demons and get straight with God, it won't bother you at all. You'll lift up my arm like they did Moses. So then what? If you think this is strong, you ought to hear the tape on clearing the books. God did some talking that night, and I sure did listen. This is mild tonight. But I want to tell you something, folks. When we get older, God expects more. And when they got into the wilderness and got into the condition that they were in, God began to expect them to learn the Word of God. When they got into the wilderness, God expected them to learn the Word. If it took all night long, God expected them to listen and pay attention to the Word. If it took all night, because you people are bound for the flames of hell, the burning pits of a dark, dark world, if you don't wake up and get right with God. What is it? They had to learn the Word. They had to learn the law. They had to get something from God. And they begin to listen, and the ones that didn't listen begin to, the devils and demons begin to bite them. Some of you got sicknesses in your body. Some of you married one time, two times, three times. Some of you got whore spirits, adulterous spirits, fornicating spirits. Did you know the Bible said if a man be a fornicator, if he be called a brother, don't you so much as eat with him? Don't you fellowship him? Said if a man come into the church and cause trouble, somebody said, well, what we ought to do is get around him and pray for him, Brother Pike. The Bible didn't say pray for the man. He said turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh to get him out of the church. Somebody said, but he's the best tithe player I got. Then they ought to turn you over to the devil with him. Anybody that would place money above a human soul ought to be in hell with the same fellow that practices that. David said, Lord, let their table be made a snare unto them. Let them always go backwards. That's the same loving David. The same loving David. That same loving Jesus is just so sweet that he wouldn't harm a hair on your head. Revelation 19 says he'll come back on a white horse, and these loving saints that wouldn't touch you for nothing will come back on a white horse, and they will literally dip a sword in your blood. Not no spiritual warfare, not no make-believe, but the Bible teaches Jesus himself will take a human being and run a sword through him. Loving Samuel, it was so sweet. Judged Israel for many years. God told Saul, said, kill that wicked king. He didn't do it. Oh, loving brother Samuel, it was so sweet. Walked up to Saul and said, why did you spare him? Said, I told you not to spare any of them. Said, why did you spare him? And he reached up and he took that sword out of his hand. And he looked at that wicked king and he said, you've made me a mother childless. He said, and your mother shall be childless. And he cut him to pieces. Why? Because Jesus said so. See, we've got to understand God. We've got to know what God is, folks. He's good, but he's expecting something out of us. The devils and demons will leave you if you look on the brazen serpent. There's a Calvary, there's a cross, there's a word. Body casts out the unclean spirit. How many of you know that the preacher is Calvary and the cross? How many of you know that he's your Jesus? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. How many of you know that he's interceding between you and God? For we stand in Christ, as said, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God. He's the man that lays on his knees at night and prays. He's the man that's supposed to be fasting and praying. He's your sacrifice, your scapegoat. If he isn't doing it, you don't have a preacher. You don't have a Calvary. You don't have a deliverance. You love the Lord, he's the one that's got to give an account in the day of the judgment. I'm going to say this right hurriedly. Praise the man of God. Praise him. Somebody said, bless God, I ain't praising nobody but Jesus. You'll never praise Jesus unless you praise the man of God. If you don't praise your brother, you'll never praise Jesus. Somebody said, I'm going to give my money to Jesus. If you don't give your money to the evangelist and to the needy and to the poor, you'll never give to Jesus. He said, in that day you did it to them, that's the way you did it to me. I am in the body. I'm a spirit inside the body. I enjoy what Brother Pike enjoys, what Brother Blaylock enjoys, what Brother Jimmy enjoys. I grieve when Jimmy's grieved. I grieve when Brother Blaylock is grieved. To make him happy is to make me happy. When saw ye like this, Lord? Did it not unto you. You did it not to the least of these. You didn't do it to me. Go away into everlasting damnation. Is that right? Others, he said, You did it to me. You took the hunger, the blind, the naked, the poor. How many of you are feeding the poor tonight? How many of you doing something for the lost? How many of you trying to reach the widow and the orphan? The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then keep yourself unspotted from the world. Have you got that kind of religion tonight? If you don't have it, then you don't have the goods. Is that right? I want to close in just a few minutes. Hold on. When we come to the place, children of God, to where we want to hear the word, grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, shake ourselves out of the things of the atmosphere of the world, have not the love of the world in you, turn away from it, come to God, get in a unity. You ladies, get out of them bebop dresses. Get away from the sinful, adulterous generation. Get you enough clothes on to cover your nakedness. Somebody said, bless God, you're talking to my wife, and I'm talking to mine too. Somebody said, well, I'll smack you in the nose. Well, let's wait till I finish preaching, and you can have the pleasure. But right now, I want to tell your wife to quit running around naked and put on some clothes. She needs some clothes on. And if you was half a man, you'd make her put some on. If you was a half a man, let alone a Christian, the time that she sat down and other men began to look at her knees, you'd walk over there and you'd say, get up from here and get in there and get you some clothes on. Amen. I wouldn't have a wife that went around showing her knees to everybody. As far as I'm concerned, she's not a wife. She's a woman. I wouldn't have a mother that couldn't love, take care of her little baby that throwed it around like a dish rag, let it go around and gall itself because she won't wash it and change the diaper. She's not a mother, she's just a woman. Mothers don't do that. I wouldn't call myself a daddy to let my wife go hungry and lay around on my laziness and say that God's called me to preach. God's called me to do this and I can't make a living. You show me Bible for that. Paul worked with his hands, lived in his own hired house 2 years. When God calls you, God meets needs. Somebody let their bills go and won't pay their bills, won't deal right with their fellow man, won't be straight, leave bills and debts everywhere. And say, well, I can't help it. God called me to preach. God didn't call you to preach. If you had it, you'd paid your bills. Preachers that get in the pulpit and let the people live like the devil and don't straighten them out and say, God called me to preach. God said if they'd have stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. God didn't call them. I feel good, don't you? You love the Lord? All right. You've been good listeners tonight. There's a lot more I'd like to say, but I felt like I've said enough for tonight. Now, Brother Branham one time said, we want to nail the board on so that the wind don't get it. Tonight, we tried to nail it on to where you can give the more earnest heed to it. Now, last night, I preached on the preachers. Tonight, I preached on everybody. We had a preacher's convention last night. Tonight, we're preaching to everybody. You love the Lord. I like the way you say praise God, Brother Blaylock, because it's sincere. I hear someone say, praise the Lord. In other words, they'd like to say, I'd sure love to mock you and tell you to shut up. Praise God. I know what you're doing. But I like to hear a man say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless my brother. Help him. I'm no fool. I may act like one. Bible said God has chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise, but I know what street you live on. I know where Crooked Street is, and I know where Glory Avenue is too. I know who lives on it. I'm acquainted with them. You love the Lord? You know anybody we left out tonight? If we did, we'll try to get them on the next go-round. I think we got everybody tonight. But if we left out anybody, we'll try to get them on the next trip.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, bless God, the way you preach, Brother Pike, you will never have nobody to preach to. I have to hide from people. Wherever I go, I have to hide from people. Wherever I go, I have to hide from people. Down home, we have to put up guards to keep the people out. There's guards that stay out there all day long to keep them out, to keep me from dying. Why? You know why? Because people ain't looking for a bunch of sugar pits. They're looking for somebody that'll tell them that they're going to die and go to hell if they don't straighten up their crooked ways. I hit a snag then. When I was a boy plowing a plow in the field, you know, as a country boy, like John, be plowing along, and after a while it hit a root. Sometimes it jerked the root up. Sometimes it'd break a plow point. But I didn't quit. I just go get me a brand new and sharpen it up real good and hit it again. Sometimes turn over an old clod and a great big old snake would run out from under it. I just slap the mule on the side or the horse on the side, let him trot off a little bit, and me and the snake would go round and around until one of us got the best of the other. And I usually got the best of him, and I always go back to my plowing. So when I'm breaking up fallow ground, if I break up plow point because I hit a snag, well, just hold on. When I come back next night, I'll get a sharper one, and we'll start on that same route again. If I can't get it that way, I do like my granddaddy used to tell me. Might take a shovel and dig around it a little bit like John, then I lay the axe to the root of the tree. We always had an axe and had a place out in the, you know, out in the barn. We'd grind the old axe till it was real sharp. You get it real sharp, and the sharper it is, the less strength you have to use. You get it real sharp, and when you get it real sharp, go out there and cut that thing out. That way it don't break no more plow points. Makes your furrows so pretty and nice, not crooked, you notice. Lay them off, and then when you go along, drop the seed in, it just pushes up through that tender, pulverized ground. You just beat that ground to pieces, you know, with that old drag hair, and get every stitch, everything out of it, and then it just comes up so lovely. The rain and the sunshine comes. The waters of life just fall on it, and such a beautiful harvest. I've had corn to pop up way up over my head, Brother Delmer, way up over my head. Beautiful corn. Plow the field. The Bible said he shall thoroughly plow the field, the ground. I love you, folks. God bless you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. But I wanted to lay this down right tonight. I wanted to lay it down right because this is your last chance. And I wanted to lay it down right. I wanted you to hear me. I wanted you to arouse. I wanted you to awake. I didn't preach this hard last night. I want to arouse you. I want to help you. Seed of You needs to be established, Brother Delma. It needs to be a soul-winning station. As far as I'm concerned, you've had some of the greatest men I know. I believe Delma Baldwin's a great man. I say that to his face. I believe it. Somebody said, well, you don't know him like I do. I'm sure that I don't. I know him better. Because I got a better opinion of him. I can tell the way you talk that I don't know him the way you do. As far as I'm concerned, Roy Hill's a good man. I believe that with my heart. Somebody said, well, you don't know him like I know him. But I still know him. There's something in his heart that loves God. Somebody said, well, he's got a lot of faults. Well, we can throw stones after service. But let's look at some of the good character right now. A number of other men in here. That's good men. I know that's good men. I believe Brother Blaylock's a good man. I haven't had a chance to fellowship much. I believe Jim's a good man. Brother Herman's a good man. I know him. I know he's a good man. Numbers of good men in here that are preachers. I know that. Some of them I haven't had as much fellowship with. But they're good men. You know what you need to do? You, brethren, need to get together and fight the devil and quit fighting each other. Come on, folks. You people need to get together and fight the devil and quit fighting each other before you chop the whole tree down and won't nothing grow on it. You need to get together. Somebody said, well, I just don't like the way Brother so-and-so does. Now listen to me. Stubbornness and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and as idolatry. You might as well worship a devil if you be stubborn and rebellious. If you can't love that brother, there's something wrong with you. Somebody said, well, I just don't see how I can. I know one thing. Somebody said, well, he's backslid. The Bible said, woe unto the backslider, I'm married unto you. If God can live with him, if God's married to him, why come you can't fellowship him? I've heard people say, them old black darkies, them old Negroes. You know, Mississippian and Georgia. I'm a Georgian. You're Mississippian. And Mississippi folks and Georgia folks have got some of the silliest, craziest notion about black people of anybody I've ever seen. Somebody said, we'll get you now. Well, you can go ahead. I've been preaching in Mississippi for years. Been preaching the same thing. It ain't got me yet. Georgia too. They say, that old Negro ain't as good as I am. I said, that makes you better than God, then, doesn't it? I said, God said he's a temple of the Holy Ghost, and God walks in him, and God lives in him, and God talks in him, and you think you're so good, more holy than I, you can't even shake hands with him, fellowship him. You're bound to be on your way to hell when you think like that. You need to get straightened out. You love the Lord? I can fellowship Brother Baldwin. I can fellowship Brother Roy. Somebody said, well, you can't fellowship me because I ain't going to fellowship you. Well, that's true. If you won't have no fellowship with me, well, that's as far as my ship can go. But I'll tell you what. If you love the Lord, we'll get along.
Amen.
If you don't love the Lord, oh, may God have mercy on you. That's all I can say, if you don't love the Lord. But I say this from my heart. The Bible said, lest you forgive your brother. This goes for sisters too. Lest you forgive your brother his trespasses against you from your heart, God will not forgive you your trespasses. Come on, folks. Said if you've got one ought against that brother, or he's got anything against you, is that right? Ought, that just gets down to what you might say nothing, isn't it? Your brother's got ought against you. Somebody said, well, my brother Pike, if I went to everybody that feels like they got something against... Now look, sister, if you're so weary and tired, you can't stay here till I get through, why don't you get up and leave? Why do you come and bother my services? I didn't ask you to come out. Why don't you get up and leave and go on out? Don't sit there and let a devil cause a melancholy thing to trouble the whole service. Get up and leave. I know that's a demon. It was here last night. God's going to get you for it if you don't get out of it. That's what's wrong with you now. You love the Lord? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I just don't understand you. My wife don't either. But Jesus does. Somebody said, you just speak right out like that. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. And to rebuke openly that others might see and fear that they might not do it. That's why I rebuke openly. I want you to see it and fear, not do it. Somebody said he preached something and it hit me tonight. It wasn't right. It was right. You ought to have been living right. When I preach the gospel, I'm not fighting with anybody. Because when I say hit some preacher, some woman, if it hits somebody, then it's meant to hit them. Amen. It's meant to hit them. Play just a little low on your instruments, will you? It's meant to hit them. If I say something, I mean for it to hit you. I'm not fighting with you. Because a preacher, you've got him so bound now. If he gets up here, if he says anything, somebody said, bless God, he's fighting with me, and up they go. They need their diapers changed. They're not grown up. They need their diapers changed and quit telling people they're preachers. They haven't even got out of the cradle. Somebody jump up and run out, and the man's preaching. He needs his diaper changed. He's not a preacher. He's a baby. Let me tell you, I rebuke you openly to try to help you. I want to help you. But folks, I never seen a place in my life crawling with devils and demons like Olive Branch. I preached in the islands. I preached to the black men. I preached in the islands where they're vicious. Where I went out in the middle of the night and caught him dragging with him down the street. Over in the hours of the morning when everybody was asleep, see a big black drunkard, mean, burly something had come in from the sea, dragging him down the street. And I went to him and stuck my finger in their face in the middle of the morning and told him God would tear their hide up if they didn't turn it loose. I've seen them start to rise up. I'd say it in Jesus' name. And I've seen them melt, turn it loose, and the devil leave. But in all of those places I've been, I never seen a place crawling with devils and demons like Olive Branch for religious people. Never. Get them out. Clean up. Clean the church up. Clean your minds up. Get your minds together in one thing, folks.
and follow God and worship the Lord, and God will do something for you. I want you to stand with me. I believe with all my heart, if there's a devil anywhere in the world, that Satan will send him to Olive Branch. I do. I do. I believe it. But I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to hurt. Brother Delmer's a pastor here now. Brother Roy used to be pastor in Billy. But I say this to all the brethren that's been here, Brother Delmer that's here, or anybody else that comes here. Keep these women out from up here with these dresses on that's showing their needs. Don't let them come up here. God will burn you in hell for that. Keep them out from up here. Let the woman stay in her place. Love her. Treat her right. But listen to me, in Jesus' name, I give you a charge. Keep this house clean. This is my Father's house, and He sent me here to tell you to keep it clean. Come into this place with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Search your heart before you enter into the doors. If you've got aught against your brother, get it straightened out. Get out of here. Go somewhere. Get your heart right. Don't come through those doors with bitterness. The Bible said, beware lest a root of bitterness spring up within you, thereby many be defiled. Don't come in here with your mind against your sister, or something that you've said, or something they've done, or something they've mistreated you with in the past. Don't you dare do it. Get rid of it. Don't come into this place like that. As I live and I breathe, you'll look on the dead face of your babies, of your wife, of your loved ones. They'll pick you up in a wreck. God will tear you into pieces. Have reverence, my brother. Listen, minister friend of mine. Don't you get out here and try to start another work here in Olive Branch around here. That's of the devil. Listen to me. I said it's of the devil. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you've overstepped your boundaries. No, I haven't overstepped my boundaries. If this is a house of God, then you need to come to it. If it isn't a house of God, you need to burn it down. It's either a house of God or a house of devil's one. And if it isn't God, you need to burn it down. You get out here and try to start another work. God didn't send you here. There's plenty of other cities. There's plenty of other places. If Brother Delma was a liar and a cheat and a swindler, and I'd say, tear this one down and build another in the back door. Take this one over one. But brothers and sisters, listen. Don't you go to any other church that they set up around here when they get off here and they pull their pranks and they get mad with the pastor here, run down the road and throw up some kind of tent and something. Don't you go to it unless you go down there to tell them to take the thing down or get right with God. Pouting and puffing. I've never seen a bunch of preachers pout and puff in my life like they do here and cross each other up. Don't you do it. Stay away from it. You get in here with Brother Baldwin and you work with him. If you're not satisfied with him, come and tell him. Sit down like a brother. You say, brother, according to the word of God, you're not doing right. Somebody said, well, bless God, he'll have a temper fit and he won't listen. Well, he couldn't be a man of God if he done that. He couldn't be a man of God if he done that. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. But don't you come up here and point your finger in his face and say, bless God, Baldwin, you so and so and so and so. The Bible said, don't you rebuke an elder. He's been in this quite a long time now. And treat him as a father. Come and talk with him. Don't come in here and try to straighten him out, as somebody says, and tell him what he's got to do. If you preach, he'll give you a chance to preach, like he gave me a chance to preach tonight. And somebody said, bless God, you won't preach some more. I've been preaching this way ever since I knowed him. I still come to his pulpit and he opens it. I preach a lot harder than this. This is mild tonight. But don't do it, preacher friend, don't do it. God bless you, I love you, but the Lord's going to kill you if you don't stop there. He's going to kill you. I got some men around here, and they say that they're with me, and I want you to listen now. I love you. Now, I know you're tired and want to go, and you're being very kind, and I'm going to let you go in a few minutes.
Well, I got some men, they say, I'm with you, Brother Pike. But you're lying, you're not. They say, but we believe what you believe, Brother Pike. And other brothers don't believe what you believe, you're lying. Brother Pike believes in holiness. Brother Pike believes in living right. You're not living right. The man that lives right is with me, not somebody that tells me he believes what I preach. Anybody could say that. But the man that lives for God, he's with me. He's my brother. The man that don't, it doesn't matter how much he pats me on my back. That doesn't matter. Brother Taylor can tell you, the Bible said, who can stand before flattery? But Brother Taylor can tell you, I don't go for flattery. I have men to come put their arms around my neck and tell me how much they love me, how much they care for me, how great I am. And I turn right around and I say, you hypocrite and you liar. Jesus said, why tempt thou me, you hypocrite? I know your spirit tonight. And know no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. I know your spirit tonight, and that's the thing I'm interested in. God is a spirit. But you work with this pastor. Don't trouble him anymore. I tell you what, you better not trouble him anymore. You got by with some of the things because you've been growing up. But the way he talked to me today, you better not trouble him anymore. Because he told me today, he said, Brother Pikes, and I'm tired and weary and wore out of all of this mess, and I'm tired. He said, I ain't fighting with him no more. I ain't bothered with them no more. He said, I'm going to go ahead and love them and leave them alone and just do whatever God's told me to do. Now, folks, let me tell you, as long as you can punch a feller in the nose and get him to punch you in the nose back, you ain't got to worry about God taking his part. But when that feller becomes a sheep and becomes a lamb, Christ begins to show. And then you put your finger on him and God sees you put your finger on Jesus and God will tear you out of the frame. Are you listening? So I believe it must be changing time. You love the Lord? I ain't going to ask you if you love me. Of course, to love the Lord, you got to love me. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. But I ain't going to ask you to do that. But it's a lot easier to say, I love the Lord. Now, let me say this in closing, and I really am closing. I love you tonight. And I've talked strong to you tonight. A lot stronger I talk to other people. But I talked strong to you because I love you. I shouted at you. I hollered at you because I love you tonight. To lift up my voice like a trumpet and tell you of your sins without respect to person. I love you. Don't let this move pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Amen. Let's have the same glorious God and move that we one time had in Olive Branch. And I'll tell you what, and you can believe me or not believe me, but it'll come to pass. If you brethren will come together in love and your people will come together, there'll be one of the greatest moves of God in Olive Branch that's ever been in the history of the world here. And you will be blessed and you will be healed. There won't be sick folk. Said there wasn't a sick one among them in the days when they come out of the wilderness. You'll be healed and you'll be blessed. And I promise you that you'll get the good things of God. Brother, it's coming up tonight. Why don't we do this? I do this at home sometimes. Why don't we do this? Why don't we sing a little chorus together? Why don't we all gather around the altar for just a few minutes? Now, down home, we do this with a regularity. I call people to the altar. The whole church comes. Sinner, saint, black, white, visitors, whoever. They come. Let's just try that tonight. If you're a sinner, come on anyway. Somebody said, well, you expect me to praise God and I'm a sinner, Brother Pike? I certainly do. Everything that has breath, let him praise God. You got breath, haven't you? Haven't you got breath? Get in here and praise the minister. I said, well, I can't praise nobody but God. But the Bible said, in a good thing I praise you. Paul said that. In a good thing I praise you. Isn't that right? You do it to Christ. In a good thing I praise you. Give honor to the minister. The Bible said double honor to them that labor in the Lord. Esteem him. Somebody said, I think you overdo it when you get up and say he's God's man of the hour. Well, you've underdone it. I wish we had time to show you that tonight. But the Bible said not just esteem him, but said esteem him worthy of double honor and very highly for his work's sake. See, if you've been esteeming him, double up about 10 times. Esteem him very highly. Because you need him in your area. Esteem him very highly. And give him double honor. Is that all right? That's what God said do. Sheep of God will do that to their shepherd. They love that shepherd. They'll do that. Isn't that right? They'll submit themselves to him.
for he watches after your soul.
I want you to come while we sing this little chorus. Don't grieve the minister. He bears not the sword in vain. God's minister to execute judgment upon them that do evil, but good to you that do good. Let's sing this chorus tonight.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, sweet Savior. Oh, how I need thee.
Now will you sing it with me?
I need thee. Oh, I need thee.
Sing it with me.
Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, sweet Savior. Oh, how I need thee.
Now sing it this way, will you?
Oh, don't turn him away. Turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. List to the Savior, hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away.
I feel your hearts tonight. I feel the surrender of your spirits tonight. This is beautiful. I feel spirit surrender, Jimmy. I feel people surrendering to God. This pleases the Lord. It pleases God. How tender, how sweet, how merciful, how great is the mercies of God to them that surrender their heart the way that you're surrendering it tonight. The love of God. No judgment. No judgment for mercy rejoiceth in the presence of judgment. But mercy, when you turn your heart to the Lord, then mercy comes. Then mercy comes. Hallelujah. Just to love him, just for a few minutes. And to tell him how much you care tonight. How much you want him tonight. How you'd like to knit yourself together, one brother with another. How horrible it is for one precious brother to be separated from another brother, even in the natural. One precious sister that can't fellowship another sister, even in the natural. How much more in the spirit? I need you, and you need me, and we need one another to love one another. The devil would love to divide the members of the body, but let's come together. The Bible says Satan will wear out the saints of God, and he certainly has worn them out, brother. He certainly has. But all of a sudden, Delmer said, they shall rise and take the kingdom. They shall rise and take the kingdom, Brother Roy. That means there's a rustling in the mulberry trees. There's something coming forth, and they're going to rise and take the kingdom. And the Bible said they'll possess it forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. Possess it forever. Isn't that wonderful? What a strength we can have. What a moving of the Spirit. Wonderful men of God here tonight. Wonderful women of God here tonight. That's been beat. Pulled down. But Olive Branch can be one of the most powerful units in the world. And I believe God will make it that way. I believe God will make it. Let's just sing another chorus or two before I turn it to your shepherd now. Let's sing one more or two, can we?
Hold on, turn him away.
Sing this one more time.
Hold on, turn him away, for he has
come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. Follow how you'll lead him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Just listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing that? To help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something has happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. Don't you feel him tonight? I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands up tonight. And I want you to pray tonight. While we're worshiping God for just a minute, if there's a sick body here tonight, I'd like to pray for her. There was a sick woman here last night, very sick, and I fell to pray for her. I let the service ease on by because of the people. Bible said it went ill with Moses for the sake of the people, trying to please the people. Now to go away suffering. And I said, Lord, tonight I'll pray for her. Tonight I'd like to pray for her. If she'll come up here, she's still here. And she's still suffering because I saw her tonight. And I'd like for her to come up here, she will.
Yes.
And I'd like to pray for her tonight. And if anybody else is sick, I believe in healing. The Bible says they preach the kingdom of God and they heal the sick. And I believe in faith tonight. Faith has been great in my life. Great. I've seen wonderful, outstanding things by faith. I've had reports where God healed cancer where we prayed. Doctors said it was healed. We've got reports. I was telling him one day where we sent out a prayer cloth. The boy came and got it from over in Meridian, Mississippi. Came to Monroe and got it, and his mother was on the floor dragging herself around. And said the doctors couldn't help her. Said she couldn't do nothing, and they couldn't do nothing for her. But as we prayed, I felt the hand of God, Brother Jimmy. I said to my people, I said, God, heal that woman. They said, Brother Pike, we believe it. And they did. And I told them, I said, take this prayer cloth and give it to her. I said, there's going to be a change. And they took it. And in about a month, the boy returned to see his mother. And he came back and his cup was running over. He was praising God and stood up and told the church, said, when I got back, my mother was off of the floor, had been completely healed, and was with my daddy canning stuff, or rather freezing stuff, putting it in packages and putting it into the freezer. Said she was completely healed. We've had some wonderful, outstanding things. Prayed for a man the garbage truck closed in on. And they took him in the hospital to die. But God sent me up there, and I prayed for him, and I said, this man will be right out yonder. I said, you come right out there and testify in the church. He did. And his own sister stood in the church with the tears running down her cheeks. Said, God worked a miracle for my brother. While we was there, I started by another room in the hospital. And I looked, and when I went by there, there was a boy laying there on the bed. And he was like he had thorns around his head. You know these things they put around him. Withered up. Withered up. Pitiful. The case was so bad that I didn't even care to pray for it. And that's the truth before God. He was that hopeless. Pitiful. And I've seen some bad cases. But I went in there and I said, do you know Jesus? He said, no. I said, would you like to know about Jesus?
He said, yes. And I told him about Jesus. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And I said, I want to pray for you. And I prayed. The Bible said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're justified by faith. And I prayed. And I didn't get to see him after that. But the same woman that brought the testimony of the brother that was crushed in the garbage truck said, Brother Pike, said, you know the little boy that you prayed for? I said, yes. She said, Brother Pike, he is up out of the bed and he's in a wheelchair now. And there was so much difference that they took him out of all of these things he was strapped up to, been there all that time, and said he's up to where he can begin to get around. Did you know that case was so hard that as I walked by the room and looked at it, I turned my head and I said, Lord, there ain't no need for me to go in there to pray for that boy. And I started out the door, and the Lord said, Brother Delmer said, pray for that boy. And I started out the door, and I said, Lord, it won't do no good for me to go pray for that boy. And he said, pray for that boy. And I eased on by, all the time trying to turn around and go back. And I kept telling myself, I said, well, the hospital is closing up. The nurses, you know, was wanting to get out and all. And I said, I need to get out of here. And just as I got to the door, my little David looked up at me. He said, Daddy, said, did you see the boy as we passed by the door? Brother Albert, it tore me to pieces. He felt like I ought to have prayed for him. I said, closing the hospital or not, I'm going and pray for that boy. And I went back and prayed for him. And God done something for him. Tonight, folks, if you're sick, if you've got cancer, if your belly's rotting out with cancer tonight, if your nerves are breaking down and you're just about ready to go to the insane asylum, I don't care what's wrong with you tonight. I'll pray for you tonight, and if you'll believe with me, God will heal you. He'll heal you tonight. God will heal you tonight. That's right. I've prayed for people, and I've seen them get up out of wheelchairs. That's right, and start shouting and praising God. I prayed for them, and I've seen them get off of little death beds and get up when they couldn't hardly stand on their feet, but the power of God hit them, and they come up. That's right. I've seen some wonderful things in my life, enough to write a book on. Outside of the many wonderful miracles of finance of hundreds of thousands of dollars, seen the time when I have to have $10,000 in a week. Nowhere to get it. Pray, and he'd be there that week. Why? Because Jesus hears and answers prayer. Faith. Isn't it wonderful? We don't need any music. We don't need any music. They didn't have it in the early church. We don't need it. What we need is faith. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I'm not going to close till I get ready, folks. You can't ship me out like that. I want you to come over here a little closer. All of you, gathering just a little closer. I want to pray for you tonight. God loves you tonight. You've been like sheep that's been led astray, abused, torn, led astray, sown asunder. But God wants to help you. God wants to be with you, and God wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you, and He will do something for you if you'll let Him do something for you. He wants to. He's trying to help you tonight. He'll break every yoke. The anointing will set you free. The truth will set you free. It'll break that yoke off of your mind up here, Brother Albert. It'll make you think straight, get the right understanding, go in the right direction. And when you do, the whole world will change. It'll be so wonderful, so different. You love the Lord? God sent me here to you, people. That's the truth. So help me God. He sent me here to you. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, He never sent me to you. Jesus said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Every one of them, He'll seek and search them out. People say, well, I come to God because I wanted to come. The Bible said no man can come to God save the Spirit draw him. You never chose Him. He said, I chose you. You can't choose Him. Listen, folks, right quickly, listen. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. He cried. He wept. You can pray all you want to. Some of you have cried for years. You've never found repentance. You've shouted. You've done all kinds of things. You've spoken tongues. But you've never found a place of repentance. You're not saved tonight. But I want you to know tonight, Esau sought it with
Repentance with bitter tears. He never found it. Isn't that right? He never found it. But Jacob did, and Jacob got the birthright. Isn't that right? If you'll seek repentance the way God wants you to, you'll be all right. But the callings and gifts of God is without repentance. They're given to you by foreknowledge from the elect, as elect from the foundation of the world. And God gives them to you because you're His elect. He calls you. He seeks you. He finds you. He draws you. I've come to seek and to save you. Isn't that right? Now I want you to bow your heads once again. I'm going to lay hands on Albert here and pray for him. If you're sick tonight, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you as a group. If you want me to lay hands on you, you come up here. I'll lay my hands on you and pray for you. Bible said they'll lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I pray for my people a lot of times as a group. Sometimes I pray for almost all night long. So many people will be there praying for the sick, laying hands on them. But I felt like doing this tonight. Now you say, I think you're taking too long. Now, when you have the services to start with the singing and all that, I didn't say anything about you taking too long. So don't say anything about me taking too long. I feel God wants me to do this. I want to pray for Albert tonight. And I want to pray for you tonight. But I want you to believe with me. I feel faith here tonight. I feel faith. Not a lot of shouting going on, but you don't have to have that. Jesus has walked over and touched the man. He was made whole. That's where we've been wrong. We put our faith in sensations and everything but the Word. But what we need is faith in the Word. He said He sent His Word and healed him. I preach the Word to you tonight. The Word of God will set you free. It'll heal you. It'll heal you tonight. I want to pray for you. And the Bible said, go thy way and sin no more. That's the worst thing. Come on you. If you'll believe with me, I promise you in the name of the Lord, in the days to come, you'll know that something has happened in your body, that there's a difference. You'll know it. Nobody won't have to tell you. You'll know it. Father of heaven, as I pray for Albert tonight, I thank you for your presence tonight. I love you for the wonderful Word of God and the wonderful ways of Jesus. Father, tonight, I feel your anointing tonight. I feel your Spirit tonight. Heal Albert as I feel his faith. Heal tonight, Jesus. I do feel you healing right now. Heal and make whole tonight. Father, the spirit that I feel going through Albert tonight, heal him, Jesus. Oh, God, and make him free tonight from every bondage, Father.